Your show host, Dr. Alan Chong, a.k.a. the Spine Doctor himself, is a practicing chiropractor for over 33 years, business practice coach, and owner of three clinics in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. His weekly guest experts will share with you the very best secrets to their own success. Their inspiring stories will be sure to show and teach you to see and achieve more in your own personal life and professional practice. Dr. Chong's dynamic and entertaining interview style allows you to just sit back and enjoy every moment as you discover the gems found in each and every podcast. We realize that you're on a journey to your own success and mastery. This podcast will allow you to learn from some of the masters in chiropractic practice, marketing, and business. Allow easy inspirations and new ideas to nudge you on a path to your future practice success and practice mastery. Stay tuned now for another exciting episode of Practice Mastery, your call to greatness. Now here's your host, Dr. Alan Chong.
Welcome to today's presentation, The Power of Mentorship. Do you have a mentor? Are you yourself a mentor? Well, we're going to explore the power of being mentored, as well as the value to you for being a mentor yourself. So there's power in being mentored, of course, and then there's tremendous value I've personally found as a mentor myself. Hi, I'm Dr. Alan Chong, aka the Spine Doctor. I'm a practicing chiropractor for over 33 years, the owner and director of three clinics in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, the creator and host of Practice Mastery Podcast, and I'm a mentor to very few, and I also have a select few mentors that I've chosen, and some have accepted me as a mentee and to be mentored, and most are informal relationships, and some mentors of mine don't even know necessarily that they are a mentor of mine. And we're going to talk about that and define that, because in the world of mentorship, there are basically three types of mentorships that I'm going to define today. So one is the personal mentorship, life mentors, for example. It might be personal development, might be spiritual, it might be those type of examples of personal. And then there are the professional and career type mentors, which I'm going to exclude for this conversation today, the academic, formal, established academic mentorships. I'm not going to really talk about those today. So the two that I want to focus on, the one I want to focus on is the professional and career mentors. I personally have adopted some career mentors over my lifetime. They have come and gone, not quickly in general, but the examples are that you might think in your life are mentors that have really helped you get through situations. I have a mentor that I want to tell you a story about later, and then also share some examples of mentorship that I've experienced personally. In this presentation, in this process, I want you to think about perhaps the mentors that you've adopted. For example, a personal mentor for you might be Oprah. And I give that example because when I first learned this, that mentorship is someone that you may look up to, follow in the footsteps of, highly admire. All those define a type of mentorship, but they themselves, for example, Oprah, might not be aware that they are your mentor. And she is probably a mentor for thousands and thousands, perhaps millions of people. And that is a different type of certainly arm's length type mentorship that is informal. It's certainly not contractual. We aren't talking about those so much. But regardless of the relationship there, mentorship is something that's extremely powerful for a number of reasons. For the mentee, the person being mentored. And let me give you a little bit of an example of the definition. I defined mentorship for this purpose of today's talk is a dual relationship between two people to follow in the footsteps of a more experienced, wiser, somehow more esteemed person is the mentor. With the mentee, the student person who has the intention to learn from this role model. That's how I defined it. Now, Google says mentorship is about the relationship between an extra experienced character and a much less experienced individual. I love that definition as well. So mentorship can be defined in different ways, and I hope that gives you some perspective. We're going to start off with some general thoughts about why should you seek mentorship? That's a great question. Why have a mentor? For one, the obvious reasons is to seek out an extra experienced character, and presumably you being the less experienced individual to learn, to grow, to develop, to mature, to maybe it's as a chiropractor, hands-on skills, as a chiropractor, or maybe a clinic owner or manager or director to learn business skills. All those might involve seeking out a mentor. Now, a mentor and a coach could be the same person as well, a business coach. However, the mentorship for the purpose of what I want to define tends to be a longer lasting relationship that may or may not be a paid relationship. And there's certainly paid mentorships too. But I'll give you some examples as we go along. But I want you to start thinking about mentors in your life. Now, for some people, their parents are their mentors. Their parents or grandparents may be some of their biggest mentors in their lifetime. So that's an example of a special type of personal mentorship as well. And in some cases, it could be a business mentorship if you know, like Dr. Sana, his father might have been a mentor, a strong mentor to him as a chiropractic family. That's an example. Now, why have a mentor? That's a great mentee question. Well, for obvious reasons, I'm going to give you some unique ones, perhaps. For one is, why have a mentor? Perhaps it's to develop your superpowers. And if you're taking notes, you might want to jot down what the reasons are you want to have a mentor, because I think you really need to define some solid reasons for why and what type of person you want to be mentored by. Now, some of the things that I would suggest as well is mentorship as a mentee, someone desiring mentorship. I have an example for one of the chiropractors, my associates, recently added associates, chose me to mentor her because she had some, you know, experiences in her early days and months and years out of practice, just a couple of years out of practice, that were really bothered her in the sense that she expected mentorship, seemed to have been promised mentorship, but really didn't get it. So those relationships obviously break down and it's not a favorable mentorship. So mentor-mentee relationships can also break down and you know, basically they're not necessarily hired by you, but you might have to change that relationship with a mentor-mentee relationship. So seeking out a lifelong mentor is certainly a very, very special type of relationship. But mentorships can come and go to some degree, but I think the most valuable mentorships are ones that last for quite a substantial period of time, usually in a career or professional mentorship, we're talking about years. And often there is a close friendship that develops. And I'm going to tell you a story later, read you a story actually that talks about that exact type of scenario. Now, for growth, for expansion, to learn, What do you hope to achieve in that mentorship? I think it's really, you need to be clear if you're seeking a good, constructive, healthy mentorship relationship. As seeking a mentor, as a mentee, then you need to set those things down in writing as well. That's why it helps to have a journal book. One of the things is I have a journal book. I have a couple journal books, actually, that help me focus my thoughts and get what I want out of different meetings or different things coming up, even this presentation, to plan it and to really consolidate my thinking. So there's a lot of benefit in that. Now, so proficiency, excellence, expertise, skills, mindset, mental toughness, proficiency, wanting to get better in your hands-on skills, for example, or the practice of chiropractic, seeking excellence in those areas, perhaps, and your expertise. Those are all good reasons to have a mentor that might be a practice mentor. And certainly mindset might be a totally different type of expertise. It also might be mindset in the area of personal development. So that could be a different type of mentor, or it might be a well-rounded mentor that has a lot of these skill sets as a highly evolved individual, perhaps highly respected by you, and want to learn from them. So one of the things that I certainly teach and coach on as a mentor and a coach is I love to talk about and coach on mindset, because believing and knowing and having the stubborn determination to achieve something is a huge skill set and mindset that it will help you achieve more. But again, it takes consistency and development to achieve that. And is it ever perfected? I would argue and say no, because there's always stuff that comes along in business. Just when things seem to be cruising along nicely, something big comes up, for example. And I wouldn't wish that upon anybody, but it seems like a bit of a Murphy's Law. Now, whether one of your goals or some of your goals are in the area of strictly on business success, business, money, fame, all of the above may be true, that obviously you want to seek a mentor, or like I said, you might have someone as a mentor and they don't even know, like the Oprah example, that you want to follow in their footsteps by reading their biographies, their autobiographies, watch and listen to them. Podcasts, for example, great ways to be influenced positively by that person. For example, one of my personal mentors, and I did have the chance to go to a couple of his workshops and courses, is Mike Dooley in the personal realm of Notes from the Universe. Mike Dooley is quite well known. You may or may not know him, but certainly he's got millions of people on his email list, because he created this novel concept of delivering notes from the universe. This just these inspiring short notes with a lot of meaning in them. And he has been a mentor for me for years and years, because that philosophy really agrees with me. So that's an example I don't think I've ever told Mike that he's a mentor of mine. We don't have personal or friendship relationship. If anything, we have a business relationship from me being his client over the years. But that's an example of a mentorship, a relationship that they're not aware of me calling them a mentor necessarily. So that's been still special. So the next topic is, how do you choose a mentor? Well, we talked a little bit about that, but one of the strong points is obviously match. And what do you match is, I would suggest that you look at matching core values first, that you agree in principle with much of what they agree with, and talk about and just resonate with. So a lot of it is the intangibles of resonance, matching core values, belief systems, philosophy, and then does it match your qualities of the level of commitment? Or maybe you simply need to up your level of commitment and up your level of engagement and communication, and your core values are already there, but you also need to write those down and define them. And that will help you find your mentors. Now, I don't recommend that you have too many mentors, because then it becomes like a dilution and you really don't know who you're and what you're following. So you can have too many influencers in your life. And I truly know that from experience, because I went through a period in my life where really I want to do this and I followed this and that's a guru in that area. Those are different types of not necessarily mentors. They're people that you might admire or would like to, you know, have their success. And so you even take some training from them. But not all my trainers, in fact, the vast majority of seminars and programs that I've gone through, they are not my mentors. Not because there was anything necessarily bad about it. It just didn't become a long-term relationship. So I would say, so why have a mentor is the next topic. Why have a mentor? You know, we talked about that. The current topic. So a hint is that define and write down in your journal what you consistently want to, think like, act like, and be like. Those are going to give your hints. You hints as to where you want to go with. So mentors that consistently engage and challenge you, whether it be you just follow them as influencers, or that you're actually thinking about asking them for a formal mentor-mentee type arrangement, then certainly that's what you need to be thinking. Now, I want to move on to why be a mentor, why become a mentor. So generally, if you feel that you've established a certain degree of experience and mastery in what you do, let's just say chiropractic right now, because this is primarily a chiropractic audience, but maybe a non-chiropractor listening to this, watching this, practicing some other specialty or healthcare practice, for example, or just thinking about business, maybe you're a business manager. So for me, my personal example is that why become a mentor? So it's obvious that, you know, a mentee might seek you to be their mentor. And there has to be a certain degree of that you have to accept to that mentor relationship, because it is a conscious effort for the most part. Now, if you publish a lot, you're an influencer already, you might have, like the Mike Dooleys, a tremendous following of people that will call you and refer to you as their mentor. That's fantastic. Absolutely great. But I'm talking about where you engage in a more formal, whether it be a paid mentorship or just simply a commitment on both sides to mentor someone or a small group of people. Usually that I find personally that mentorship is quite a time and energy demanding relationship. The reason I say that, because you have to consciously engage on a regular basis and communicate and make an attempt to meet either virtually or on a call or have some somewhat regular speak, if you will, so that you can communicate and see what's going on and give good advice and ask what's going on with your mentee. So that certainly takes time, energy, and a regular, scheduled type of energy. So for me, living legacy is my main motivation. I want to have a living legacy. I don't want to be remembered later in years. So he was my mentor and I didn't really know it as a mentor. And the mentee, you know, loved what I did or didn't do and respected, but I want to have that as a living legacy because for obvious reasons, I want to participate actively in that mentorship and be able to have the satisfaction and the pride to have mentored one or two or three individuals to become better chiropractors, for example. I use that. I'm mentoring a couple of my associates now, specifically and consciously. We try to have a conversation at least weekly, if not every 2 weeks. And also we work on things such as technique. We work on mindset. We work on patient management. We work on all these different things and their concerns, to hear their concerns or struggles with this or that. That's important as a mentor to listen. So a good mentor has a good listening ear and doesn't jump in to coach too quickly. In fact, may not be coaching at all, because a mentorship relationship is more to be a guide, to be, you know, that extra experienced person to listen and to offer a little bit of guidance and direction to steer them in the right direction. Whereas a coach tends to act by asking a lot of questions, and then you come to the ahas that there's a subtle difference, but it can be different. Sometimes the coach is also the mentor as well. So that's cool.
Enjoyed the podcast? We'd love to hear your comments. It's simple. Rate and review Practice Mastery today at wherever you get your podcasts. We can't wait to see your review.
So the many reasons you might want to become a mentor or realize that it's time to become a mentor, and I will say this, not everyone should be a mentor. And why? Timing might not be right. The amount of time that you have to spare might not be available. Your commitments, you might be overwhelmed already. I say this with jest, but it's true. There might not be that maturity in the level of relationship either you have with yourself or with the other parties to engage in to be a mentor. You might just not feel that it's something you want to do. You might be very impatient, no desire or no passion for it whatsoever. And that is okay. I don't believe that everybody is meant to be or should be a mentor. So in a sense, a mentor is a high calling. So think of some examples of yourself. If you're thinking about becoming a mentor, what are some of the reasons why you should, could, and maybe reasons why you shouldn't become a mentor to someone or some small group of people. I do believe, though, that this world needs more mentors. It's kind of like parenting. It's kind of like governance. We need more governance instead of government. And that, for example, in parenting, children, and I have two adult children now in university, they need guidance, right? They actually seek guidance, even though when you tell them what to do, often it seems like resentment and they don't want to listen to you. But I find that as the kids get older, they are asking more questions and really do want guidance. And that can be a type of extremely rewarding mentorship as well. So I do say that the world needs more mentors, and we all personally need someone or more than one person to look up to admire for different reasons. And I believe we all need to follow in someone's footsteps. Okay. So, I talked about a number of things, lots of things about the power of mentorship, lots of powerful words, influence, commitment, core values. These are all elements of great and powerful mentorship. So I want to summarize this mentorship, the power of mentorship presentation by first of all reading you a story. So here goes. There was a keen first-year chiropractic student who wanted to become a great chiropractor. Yet back then, he knew not even what that meant. His intuition told him to learn as much as possible about how to adjust the body to correct the misalignments and malfunctions. In doing so, the power that made the body would also start healing the body. An informal mentorship started in his first year of chiropractic college in residence. It was common for chiropractic students to share notes and technique and work together. However, there was one senior student, a fourth-year intern, who seemed more than willing and able to teach younger students technique. He was talented with his adjustments even back then. His fine motor skills were exceptional, as if he were gifted, intuitive hands on this now chiropractor of 37 years. His name is Dr. Aaron Hoy of Vancouver, BC, Canada. The younger student graduated with his DC and started in a busy practice, soon becoming the owner of two clinics. The two chiros lost touch for a number of years. Then one day, the junior chiropractor called him. I'm in your city. Can you meet up? They met up at his clinic. The student did the ask to the teacher. The senior chiropractor is more than happy to begin to share his passion, knowledge, and intuitive mastery with the younger doctor. For the next many years to follow, they reacquainted and talked business. They talked life, hands-on skills, worked on hands-on skills, and most importantly, a friendship that began many years ago prior was established. About 20 years into the informal and periodic mentorship, Dr. Aaron began to open up and share more about his office and staffing struggles and the reality of being in practice for many years. He began to inquire to his mentee about what his junior would do in those cases. Well, as you might have figured, that mentee was me. So years ago, I was extremely impressed by the passion and the skill and the fine motor skills, I call it, of this Dr. Aaron Hoy. And I'm proud to say that he's a very good friend and colleague of mine now. And the really cool thing about that relationship is that for the longest time, I referred to him as my mentor in chiropractic, both how he practiced, his sense of calm, how he built a practice, and how he had a huge following, and still does, of patients that would be very loyal to coming to see him and only wanted to see him. So he had a practice, he had trained with some various practice management systems and such, and he just had a really thriving practice. It wasn't necessarily a high volume practice. It certainly wasn't a low volume practice. He did well, and he still continues to do well. And I'm proud to still call him my mentor. But the shift, which was very curious, was we started working on technique one of the many times that we did, visiting each other, and because we live about an hour flight away from each other, so it's not like we see each other all the time. And I happen to be quite good at business and run quite a tight ship in my clinics, my three clinics. So I knew that he valued my opinion. And so that mentor-mentee relationship started to shift gradually because I offered to help in giving him some advice about, and we talked about staffing and staff changes and you know, the things that come with running a chiropractic clinic. So the neat thing about that whole relationship was that there wasn't one aha moment that I became his mentor, but I know for a fact that we have a unique and rare relationship now that he considers me one of his mentors, and I certainly have for a long time considered him one of my mentors, which is, again, our core values match. We seek excellence in our practice of hands-on chiropractic and share the philosophy of believing in the body's ability to heal itself when it's cleared, and just a really cool relationship. Another part of that story is that when I realized when we were doing technique and adjusting each other, and his thing is that he taught me the feel of chiropractic, feeling the exact time. And he is an amazingly fast adjuster in the sense of the speed of adjustment is just incredible. And just so athletic, not hard, but firm. And you all know when that type of adjustment, that's just like, wow, that was amazing. And I feel awesome. So one day I was adjusting him as we were sharing adjustments and talking about technique and such, that I showed him, and I did a certain maneuver, and he said, wow, that's cool. I've never seen that before. And so I he actually asked me to show him, and we went over like a mini technique session. So that was part of my aha moment where I said, well, gee, you know, this is really cool, because I am becoming a mentor to him. More so in the business, probably in the areas, but we have fun, and we are lifelong friends. So that is an example, personal example of a mentor-mentee relationship that is reciprocated, and we're just great friends and great colleagues. So I cherish this rare and respectful mutual mentorship relationship. So in summary, the power of mentorship is obviously both in the person being mentored and in the mentor themselves, for obvious reasons and the reasons that I shared. And that story kind of pulls it all together, that it's a mutually beneficial relationship. And as I mentor my associates and a few others, a very few others, then that is a special relationship. One of the reasons is that I love to teach, and I just love to help people. And I know you as chiropractors and professionals, if you're in healthcare, then most of you have the desire to help people. That's just one of the reasons you became a healthcare professional. The world needs more mentors. The world needs great people. The world needs great leaders, and those who are willing to teach and share their living legacy to others so that we can create more excellence in practice. Dr. Mark Sanna has helped thousands of doctors become highly successful and profitable. His company, Breakthrough Coaching, specializes in chiropractic coaching and chiropractic practice management consulting. For more information about practice coaching and to subscribe to Mark's very informative blog, go to www.mybreakthrough.com. Now back to the show. So if you feel the calling to be a mentor to someone, then the reverse can be true, to reach out to that person and offer help, because there may be that resonance, and certainly you might see that need. If you feel that is one of the ways to become a mentor as well, and to keep that energy, that because it can take a lot of energy to be mentoring someone, to keep that rather sacred and close to you, to not offer that widely. Now that's different than coaching. I'm talking about true mentorship in a really deep, caring and way. And coaches can be that as well, but I'm just saying the example of is to, if you feel that calling, because some people actually are too either shy or proud or ego driven to seek out mentorship. So that you're going to have to feel into. And, you know, in that, I encourage you to think about what living legacy you want to pass on to a select few. and for them, for that person or those few people to call you their mentor. So in summary, to wrap up this talk, I hope it's been inspiring to you. I hope it's given you some reasons to seek out mentorship, to be mentored, because I have mentors. I believe in mentors for life. And then certainly to consider being a mentor to a select few as well. So my invitation to you is to explore the journey of mentorship further by journaling on whichever side of the coin you land on right now. Take your time and choose wisely. Be prepared to end that mentorship relationship or not even start it if it doesn't feel like it's going to serve you or doesn't feel right. And then you could ask a mentor whether you should entertain a further mentorship with person A or B. That's another novel concept. And do you realize that you need a mentor? So that's the other thing, I recommend that you journal, make a list of what you need in practice, where you want to be in practice, and then that will help you decide that. And then do you feel the desire to become or expand yourself as a mentor? Because I've really experienced both the satisfaction and joy of leaving, living legacy. And that's one of the proud moments, micro moments, I suppose, as we go along when the mentee, the person I'm mentoring, gets the aha moments and appreciates what's going on, bringing them into the fold to learn something, share experience perhaps with a patient in the sense of case or discussion or incident or situation, et cetera, how to deal with it, and actually to witness me having it to deal with that in real time. And it might be staffing, it might be other things. And that's a really powerful type of living legacy. So if you have questions about that, I'm certainly wanting to be able to help you out with that. If so, reach out to me or the staff at Breakthrough Coaching. This presentation is my privilege and pleasure to do so. Dr. Mark Sanna, thank you for the invitation to present, and we can help you. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed the presentation. And the key message is there is tremendous power in mentorship. Thank you. I'm Dr. Alan Chong. We'll see you again.
Well, that wraps up another episode of Practice Mastery, Your Call to Greatness. We hope that you've enjoyed the show. For show notes, to listen more, and to subscribe, go to highprofitspractice.com/podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so remember to rate and review this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. So until next time, wishing you one step closer to Practice Mastery, your call to greatness. All content for Practice Mastery podcasts and all related media of Practice Mastery, your call to greatness, are claimed and protected by copyright. All rights reserved by Dr. Alan Chong.